Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Josh Ward joins us from WNML. Josh, do you ever have trouble with your mic in the studio?
Well, often we have callers calling in and asking, will you please turn off Josh and Will's mics? That's typically the biggest issue.
Ah. I got you. So we talked about three things you were looking for on Friday. Today, I wanted to have you on, and we appreciate you coming on following Tennessee's 40-14 loss to West Virginia. Maybe three takeaways that you had from that game. Let's go ahead and jump on in there. What is your first takeaway from Tennessee's loss to West Virginia?
Yeah, some of the takeaways are going to be related to my keys for Tennessee going into the game. So takeaway number one will be that Tennessee's not good enough along the line of scrimmage right now, and that applies to both sides of the football. And I told you Friday, Tennessee needs to be able to run the football effectively, and at times since he was able to do that, that drive in the second quarter was impressive.
Yes.
But you have to play four quarters, and Tennessee got off to such a bad start, and it's not just within the running game. Play number one told us, hey, there might be an issue here when Bigelow was able to bust through on the offensive line, and part of that's Brandon Kennedy probably there at center. Part of that might have been miscommunication with Ryan Johnson at right guard, but those problems continued, and it wasn't just Bigelow, a former five-star guy who had transferred from USC. You had a freshman in Stills who was able to beat Kennedy one-on-one. There were times, there was the play where Jarrett Garantano was sacked. You have seven guys blocking, five linemen, plus a tight end and a running back. West Virginia sent four, and the guy that's able to get to the quarterback breaks through a double team by Chance Hall and Drew Richmond. So you just continue to have issues up front. And then on the defensive side, that's why I say both lines of scrimmage, mm-hmm. you didn't get the pressure you needed. And I told you a key for Tennessee on the defensive side was the front seven being able to get after Will Grier and cause him problems. And that didn't really come close to happening. So he was able to do everything that he wanted to against a young secondary, and that's how Grier was able to put up 429 passing yards, five touchdowns, and be a National Offensive Player of the Week.
You look at Jarrett Garantano's numbers, not bad, 19 of 25, 172 yards, a touchdown. I thought, considering what you just talked about as far as line of scrimmage and that offensive line struggling to give him protection, I thought that he actually looked okay. You can look at that performance and maybe say, okay, I see the potential here for Garantano in this offense.
Yeah, I think so, and that's actually one of my other takeaways. So that'll be takeaway number two, is that Jarrett Garantano, I thought, did a really good job of doing what Tennessee's coaches asked of him. If you were told going in he's going to be 19 of 25 pass, he's going to complete about three out of every four pass attempts, he's going to take care of the football, he's not going to make mistakes, and he's going to do all of that having to deal with constant pressure from the opposing defense, I think fans would have taken that. I think Tennessee's coaching staff would have taken that all through the month of August when Jeremy Pruitt would be asked about the quarterbacks. He wouldn't give us an update on the quarterback battle, but he would say whoever's out there has to take care of the ball, cannot hurt us, cannot make mistakes. And overall, I thought Jarrett Garantano did a good job of that. So moving forward, I think Tennessee's coaching staff, Tyson Elton, the offensive coordinator, they have to figure out ways for Garantano and the receivers to be able to make plays in the passing game. And if they have to plan for ways to do that with an offensive line that's not trustworthy, they've got to figure that out. ETSU and UTEP being the opponents over the next couple of weeks might give them an opportunity to work on that. But Garantano, I think a takeaway is that he has shown something to build on at quarterback, and he's clearly a better player than he was a year ago.
They didn't take a lot of deep shots, probably maybe one legit deep shot. Do you think that was a product of the pressure, or that was a thought game plan-wise going in?
Well, my thought is that has to do with the offensive line and the lack of trust that the protection would be there, and maybe the fear that if it's not there, that Jarrett Garantano ends up making a mistake, or that he gets hit, that he loses the football. I think that's part of it. They still have to figure out ways to try to attack a defense down the field, because you're just going to have to do that this season. But I think protection was a big issue when play number one happens, and that's a quick throw to the outside where there should be no pressure, and yeah. Jarrett Garantano should not be hit, and that happens. that right there probably told Tennessee's coaches we might have a problem. The play where Jarrett Garantano is sacked, that might have been a play where they were hoping it would develop for him to take a shot down the field, and he was not able to do that because the West Virginia defense was able to get to him so quickly.
You talked about the run game. You talked about Garantano offering something on which to build. A third takeaway, Josh?
Well, I would say that overall the skill positions look pretty good. I think that's your biggest positive coming out of the game. Tim Jordan with an offensive line that was having issues. He runs for almost 6 yards a carry, more than 100 yards in the game. And how many times did we say John Kelly runs angry? We're probably going to be saying that about Tim Jordan as well. He's not a big back. He's just over 200 pounds where he's listed by Tennessee. The way Tim Jordan runs, he looks like he's a 215, 220-pound running back. Yeah. And with Ty Chandler not being out there, getting knocked out in the first half, that put more pressure on Tim Jordan, and he lived up to it. Also, Marquez Callaway at receiver, he has 7 catches in the game. Now, part of that was probably the defense. They could have gone to him even more, I think. But Callaway's proven in the past he can be a playmaker for Tennessee. Perhaps now he can be a more consistent receiver. I would try to get Juwan Jennings the football more. He showed the fight that he showed 2 years ago, 3 years ago when he was out there on the field for Tennessee. So there's talent, I'd say, all around at the skill positions. It's just a matter of, do you have enough up front to use that to your advantage? That's something that I think is a work in progress for Tennessee's offense overall. And I would also say that they need to get that figured out, because the way Tennessee's defense played, Tennessee's going to need to score a lot of points a lot of times this year.
Yeah, I think ultimately it came down to Dana Holgorsen having plenty of time at halftime to identify 2, 3, 4 things in Tennessee's defense to exploit in the second half, and that was the difference to me. I mean, 13-7 at halftime, I think Tennessee would take that going in. But credit Dana Holgorsen and that passing attack, because they lit them up in the third quarter.
Yeah, and you have veterans there. Will Greer, David Sills, Gary Jennings, those were the guys. 13 catches for Sills and Jennings combined. And that's, you know, they're at the half. They're thinking, okay, we're still ahead here. We're fine. And for a veteran team, the wait, the anticipation of the second half was probably no big deal. That's the way that it appeared when they went out there on the field. For Tennessee, a little bit of a different situation. So West Virginia was the more proven team, the veteran-laden team in terms of success. And I think that showed in the second half.
Josh, appreciate you, man. We'll talk with you on Friday, brother.
Yeah, look forward to it. Thanks a lot.